This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
What is wellness?
I think of the image of wellness as like pure joy.
The important thing is for people to choose, like, what do you want to do?
Wellness are the things your grandmother told you to do.
When you really start to think about it, the answer feels more complicated. I'm Maya Feller, registered dietitian nutritionist and author.
And I'm Dr. Kavita Patel. We're the hosts of Well Now, Slate's new podcast on wellness.
Join us every Wednesday as we tackle that simple yet important question, what does it mean to be well?
BBC Sounds, music, radio, podcasts.
Hello, Jenny Murray welcoming you to the Woman's Hour podcast for parents. For the past week or so, we've been discussing teenagers and their mental health. We've spoken to teachers, doctors and parents about what they can do to help if they're faced with teens who are distressed. Well, today, Catherine Carr speaks to four young people ranging in age from 13 to 19 to hear from them directly about their experiences. And we won't be using their names.
With my family, especially my immediate family, none of us have ever really struggled with mental health issues. So it's not something we really knew about. It did feel kind of scary. And I think, especially for me, I wanted to think like it was a physical issue because then it could be kind of easily treated. Like you just take some medicine and it could go. Anxiety is something that takes a long time to get over with kind of intensive therapy and things. And so that was just a whole big scary kind of new world. We were definitely in denial for a while. Now I think that was probably the wrong thing to do looking back. I think if I had got help for it sooner and kind of admitted to it sooner, then maybe it would have kind of gone quicker.
And how did your friends respond?
They only really started noticing more when my eating disorder started to develop, and that's when they kind of started to talk to me about it more and kind of try and support me as much as they can. When it got to the point my parents found out, I was quite ill and my weight was just kind of dropping. We had to go through the GP, so my parents took me to the GP, who then did a referral to CAMHS. I mean, I am grateful for that. I really was not in a good place when I was seen by CAMHS, though.
Can you remember what it was like inside your head in one of those days, say just prior to your parents finding out, seeing the doctor and then getting that appointment at CAMHS?
I wouldn't want to wake up. I think people do sometimes think that it's a choice to have an eating disorder, it's a choice to want to lose the weight and stuff, but that is not the case. I would wake up every single morning and just not want to face the day. I wouldn't wish my worst enemy is hell. You would literally wake up and not have a spare moment in your head to think about anything else.
It's exhausting.
Yeah, I was very, very tired and went through a very, very low patch, which lasted quite a while.
I go out and see my friends quite a lot. I work in Currys, PC World, and then I go to college every day, try and do as much things as possible to get my head clear.
What do you mean by that?
I sort of have bad anxiety sometimes. So if I'm doing things with other people, it just makes me forget, and then I can sort of focus on what I'm doing with them.
Could you describe for somebody that's never felt anxious what it feels like, and how does your day get changed by those feelings?
It's like there's so many things just shooting around at once and you don't know which one to go to. It's all like all fuzzy and...
fuzzy in your head.
Yeah. You just feel a bit empty as well. What am I supposed to do with it? Just a little bit of emptiness.
I know that it isn't always cause and effect, like this thing happened, so then I became anxious. But can you think of anything that might have contributed to this?
Probably my friend dying. That has the worst effect on me.
Tell me about that.
A couple of years ago, he was murdered up near where we live, and I didn't actually get to say goodbye, so I sort of have the guilt, and since he died, yeah. I sort of led to alcohol, sort of to drink the pain away, to suppress it, but it just didn't work. That's where sort of like the blackout sort of started as well. You drink intense amounts just to see, and then it would just all go wrong.
What do you mean all go wrong?
So you'd sort of just like pass out or just like start crying or something, and then no one like sort of understand what's going on. They just thought you were drunk, but then it's like your brain's telling you you need to just forget about what's going on.
How would you describe your mental health?
Confusing. I think it's just because my mind gets confused a lot. It's hard to tell what you're going through. Sometimes I get very, very stressed out. Other times I kind of go into a mood of being lonely and sad. I think it just depends what mood I'm in. Year 7 had some problems with people, and that's affected it a lot.
What do you mean, problems with people?
Bullying, people making fun of me, and hating myself, kind of being low, yeah.
And do you think the way that you are now sometimes is all to do with that bullying, or is it something else as well, or maybe just random?
Sometimes it's a good day, sometimes it's a bad day. So normally it would be like 4 days a week, which is bad. Sometimes it would be more, but it's getting better now. It's easing off to like maybe 1 or 2 days now.
Did you know from the morning that it was going to be a bad day?
Yes, you wake up and you just feel like bad, really, really bad and lonely. You feel like you're going to cry. That's kind of like the feeling.
Would you manage to go to school on one of those days?
I'd try, I'd really try, and I would make it sometimes.
I moved last year in August, so 2018, and it was in the midst of what I didn't really know was a breakdown at the time, but it was actually like a big thing. I have anxiety, it fluctuates quite a lot, and at the time it was really bad and it caused a breakdown.
So when you say breakdown, what did that look like?
Panic attacks. Extreme amount of overthinking and like mood swings like I've never had them before, and not really being able to like get up, get out, constantly worrying that like if I was hanging out with anyone, any of my friends or anything, I'd just be sat by myself, like just, I couldn't really speak. Everything just felt very dark. I remember when I first started going to therapy, that's how I described it. It was just very, very dark and gloomy.
What were the thoughts that were spooling around?
My mind never run so much. Like, going to sleep at night was really a struggle because my mind was just ticking, 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 ticking. It's like your body gets tired because your mind is, like, just racing, but you feel very blank.
And what were the feelings associated with it? You were tired and your mind is worrying, but what emotions were there?
I don't know, very easily jumpy, and someone says one little thing, like, it would be overthought, and, like, very sharp conversation. I don't really know how to describe it in terms of emotion. I don't want to say sad. Hopeless. And very, very lonely. Like, very lonely.
Were there moments where the rational part of your brain would sort of be talking to the poorly part of your brain and saying, this is ridiculous?
At the start, definitely. During that first year, especially the first few months, it was very like, well, I'd be like, right, I'm not going to eat today. Or then I'd be like, no, wait, I have to have a little bit, otherwise X, Y, Z. But then kind of the longer you have it, the quieter that kind of part of your head gets. And if it's too long, you can't really hear that anymore, which is kind of the point where it's really difficult to get out of, which is why kind of early intervention is really, really important, because otherwise it gets to the point where you don't really know what's you and what's not anymore. Recently it's been not as yo-yo-y.
If you could explain to somebody who has no experience of being a 13-year-old girl with these kinds of issues, how would you kind of explain to them that it feels like when it was bad?
Scary. Frightening. It was lonely. You just felt like you were a person. You felt numb. You felt very, very numb. It was hard to do things. It was hard to talk to people. But I spoke to somebody and they understood.
So now you only have 1 or 2 bad days a week. Mm. What do you feel when you look back on the weeks where it was like 4 days when you woke up feeling bad?
I feel like I've improved so much and I feel happier. I read my old diaries recently. It made me sad, but then it also made me realise how much better I have got.
What sorts of things did you write?
I used to write everything that happened, but I also used to write that I didn't like myself and that nobody would like me and everything. Yeah, it's really, really bad.
I was depressed when I was about 13 years old. I was not badly bullied at school, but there was this kind of group of people that was, it was very, I don't know, very underlying sort of bullying, and I was in a really toxic friendship, and things that just kind of poked, and it sort of slowly but surely got quite dark. And I was very sensitive at the time. I was still recovering from some other things that had happened to me in my childhood. My father was an alcoholic. And it was kind of that like same feeling that had come back, but more not being triggered by something that was happening. It just was like this horrible feeling. And I didn't even know what to call it. I didn't even know how to think about it. But I remember I was sat watching the TV with my parents with my dinner on my lap. I was just sat and I couldn't do anything. I was like, I can't eat. And I was looking, and then I had these like really like just poignant sort of like suicidal thoughts. And it was like, I've never had that before. It was uncontrollable, and it was lasted for about 5-10 minutes. I felt really sick as well, and I went upstairs and I just went to the bathroom and I just was breathing like uncontrollable. I was shocked, honestly, because I'm with things like that, with thoughts, I know I have the ability to stop them. Even when my mind is running and running and running, it can be really, really difficult to do it, but I know I have the ability to do it because as a child I had therapy and I was taught. It's not me, it's like something else is saying that to me.
And have you carried on seeing CAMHS? Have you transferred from children and young person services to adult services?
My transition was very difficult. I was in hospital at the point I turned 18, so my transfer from CAMHS to adults was through transfer from a CAMHS ward in Manchester to an adult ward in Bath, which was really difficult. I can't put into words how hard that was. It was probably the biggest shock I've ever experienced.
What was so shocking?
I was with people that were kind of 20 years older than me, and there were a lot of people there that kind of I was really nervous around. I mean, I know I shouldn't have been, but I was. It was really difficult, especially the fact that I was so young compared to them all. And there were a few things that happened that were kind of, well, really shocking.
Like what?
Well, there was one night where someone actually set fire to the ward. That was a really big shock. I didn't know any of the staff, so it was a really big change, really, really hard. I think obviously it depends on the batch of patients you've got with you, because sometimes there are the majority are younger patients, so kind of 19-20. It just so happened that when I was there it was majority like 50s and 60s, because I'd only just turned 18. And then I was discharged to my adults community team, who were really good at the start. It's been on and off whether I've been seeing someone this past year because of it being really short-staffed, which is really difficult. But again, I've tried to build up resilience to it and kind of keep going no matter what.
My mum has a lot of problems as well. She's coming out of it, but she's sort of like, every now and then she gets really anxious.
And how does that feel at home?
Sometimes gets a bit upsetting. But yeah, I just sort of like stay in my room a lot of the time or go out.
You don't feel embarrassed talking about it?
No, not at all. I think it's best to talk about it. Because if you're hiding it, you're sort of like carrying more weight on your shoulders, having like a grey cloud over you.
Is that what it felt like?
Yeah, it just sort of felt like a rainy grey cloud walking over me all the time, even when it was like really hot.
Do you feel proud of how you've got through?
Yeah, I am. Sometimes that is hard to admit, but I am definitely proud, because there were points where I didn't think I'd make it. I didn't think I would see my 18th birthday. There were really low points where I was like, I'm never going to get out of this. And that is a really, really hard feeling. I am definitely proud of how far I've come.
What does it feel like? This is a big question, but what does it feel like to be a 16-year-old to have the experience that you've had and the traumas that you've had and the mental health challenges that you've had?
Sometimes it can be quite daunting to know that you know things that you shouldn't know or shouldn't have known at such a young age. I'm grateful for it in a way, not really, but it's definitely a part of who I am now. Like I find myself to be emotionally mature in quite a few ways in comparison to other people, but then other people are better in other things than I am. It definitely helps empathise with people. Sometimes I feel like I have a bit of a responsibility to help people around me because I know how it feels to need to be helped. And in that aspect, I'm grateful for things that have happened.
What do you think about when you think about your 7-year-old or your 13-year-old self? What do you feel about her?
It's almost like I look at them as if they're a completely different person. I think that's probably the same with everyone. It would be very emotional. I kind of feel sorry for my younger self in a way. Sometimes you deny yourself that what is happening is difficult. And I think maybe as a child it was always like, well, this is happening to me, da-na-na-na. But it was always kind of, I can get on with it. But I think I should have just allowed myself that lack of responsibility, like as a child especially. I felt bad, I felt guilty, and I should have allowed myself the chance to be like, what is happening is awful, and just the chance to sort of relax and not have to take responsibility and know that the people around me are actually there for me and taking care of me, and I don't need to take care of myself and take care of those adults.
The teenagers were talking to Catherine Carr. And don't forget, for the podcast for parents, we always like to hear your ideas. What sort of things do you think we should be discussing? Let us know. From me for today, bye-bye.
What is wellness?
I think of the image of wellness as like pure joy.
The important thing is for people to choose, like, what do you want to do?
Wellness are the things your grandmother told you to do.
When you really start to think about it, the answer feels more complicated. I'm Maya Feller, registered dietitian nutritionist and author.
And I'm Dr. Kavita Patel. We're the hosts of Well Now, Slate's new podcast on wellness.
Join us every Wednesday as we tackle that simple yet important question, what does it mean to be well?